important to us. They all around relationships. Helping you grow in your relationship with God, helping you grow in your relationship with others, helping you grow in your relationship with yourself. Because you can't be a good relationship to others or even have the right relationship with God sometimes till we deal and grow as sons and daughters in our own relationships. And so that's why we're called Relationship Church. We do have six core beliefs. We've been talking about them. We're on the last one. Talking about them for months. They are just real quick. We believe in a father, a good father. We believe in worship, extravagant worship. We believe in being disciples that are burning. That means passionate. We believe that every person has a mission, number four, and it's the Father's mission. We believe in now, that we don't put off the good stuff to the future. The future is now. And then the last one is we believe in family. And so we've been talking about it two or three times here that I have. And it's just going to be a theme. I had a word for this year that I believe He's making us into a family of families. We learn to be what family is here. And so I want to talk about that. We've talked about for years in 2012, a long time ago, we had a word that He's working on families. And for the last, however long that is, 6 years, we've been working on getting healthier families. We've still got a long ways to go, but we're getting there. Because we don't want to just be a dysfunctional family of families. And to do that, we have to be healthy and whole families. And it's a process going back and forth. And it's not like this stuff is done instantly. It does take time. But why family? I believe church is to be family. And it's a redefinition. Typically, church has been more about a membership, going in and seeing what programs they have, and finding the one that meets our needs the best, and that's okay. But I think there's a higher calling. You look all the way through the Old Testament. God approached His people as tribes, clans, and families. We talked about that. You can get that on the web. Jesus didn't just have staff meetings with His disciples. He lived with His disciples. Now, we're not talking about living together here, but you see the intimacy that was there. Through the book of Acts, you see over and over again that a lot of most of the moves of God were in people's houses. That's cool. We have an Acts 20:20 vision. I'm doing this from paraphrase. They met publicly in the temple and then from house to house. That's why we have small groups during the week. I was talking to a pastor this week. He was wanting to come visit, but he has church on Sundays. I didn't have anything. I said, we can come to a small group. He was wanting to see our worship, and I said, well, we just do it on Sunday mornings. I realize that's the downside, but we value the relationships that come from being in smaller groups as much as we value this. They have different purposes. This one's for the relationship of God, more vertical. Groups is more relationship horizontal, and then the growth journey is to help yourself. But let me talk to you, and this is, I'm casting vision here. That doesn't mean I've figured this out. It's sort of like we had Martin Luther King holiday earlier in the month, and he said, I have a dream. It was a great, one of the best speeches in the history of the United States, and over again, I have a dream. So some of this is Craig, I think the Holy Spirit, having a dream of where He wants His church to go, and it does take time. And we talked a little while ago, and I'm not going to go back into it, but we do want church to be a family. And there's levels of family, or family just means relationships. I don't want you just to come. I love being here. I love this church. I love you guys. I love our worship. I love the honesty. I love all about it. If somebody came, and of course they're not going to, and supernaturally said, I'll give you 1,000 people, but you lose the relationships and you lose the maturity that's happening, I would not take that. Because I think family, that's where we grow in relationships. And there's three kinds of relationships, and we talked a lot about it last time I talked. Convenience, community, and then a covenant. And so all your relationships are at three phases. Convenience, that means I see you on Sunday or see you at the grocery store, I know your name. Community is I'm starting to get to know your personality and your habits. And then covenant or commitment, let me get my words correct. I'm going back and forth. Convenience, community, and commitment. Sometimes I call it covenant, but that's a word that's not used too much these days. I want us to all have relationships at all three. Not everybody can be a committed relationship, because you can only do that with a smaller group of people, because you have to know each other. You know, I can't be committed with 100 people, because those are the relationships that in the middle of the night or the middle of the day, I need somebody to pray for me. I need you to come over here and help me move. I need you to just bounce something off. Not that I wouldn't want to, but if I was that way of 100 people, I probably would have to quit my job, and that'd be a full-time thing. But in a group this size, we can have these three relationships. There's always going to be three, and that's fine. Convenience, community, and commitment. And we want to move. And so I challenge each of you to look at your relationships, even draw circles and put names in it. I've done that. Who are the, well, maybe not the convenience, because that'd be all of it. But who am I in community with that's starting to know me, that knows who I am? You don't have to do it in our small groups. You can do it in anything. That's just one opportunity. And then who am I committed to when it gets hard? We all, and that should include your family, your natural family. Doesn't always, but it should. But it also, you should have two, three, four other names in there that you know when I'm a jerk, they're still going to be there next week. If I offend them, they may get mad, but they're eventually going to forgive me and go on. Because I'm telling you, God uses, that's what church, I think that's the major purpose of church. You know, the verse in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. That's what it's talking about. Iron sharpens iron. The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. It's another Proverbs. Somebody that's committed to you, they'll come up to you and go, Gary, I love you, but this thing that you're doing, I'm not going to say anything, just make up stuff because I don't know anyway. Make up stuff is keeping you from having the best family you possibly can, or being the best you can at work. See, if I'm just convenient with him, I want him to like me above everything else. But if I'm committed to him, I want him to like me, but I care more about him first than myself. And those kind of people are rare. But I want those. See, a family is this, and by extension, a church. It is about together we grow and go together. And it's caring about the gift in Gary more, I'm sorry, the character in Gary more than his gift. I've been a part of many churches that if you came in with a gift, you were immediately used. I remember when I was associate pastor in Augusta, Georgia. We were part of an association of about 700 or 800 people. I don't know how many hundreds of churches. This was a lead church in that association. Next thing I know, we have a new worship leader. I mean, he comes in, bam, he's a worship leader. And he was anointed, liked his wife, liked his kids. Come to find out, well, I mean, I've been gone for 25 years, so yeah. I liked him. Come to find out, he was a practicing homosexual. Now, today, that's not quite as big a deal. 25 years ago, that was a big deal. But his gift was so good, they wouldn't deal with it. Wow. The reason he was at our church is the last church had him, and he ended up, a couple people raised Cain over it. Instead of dealing with it as a father and coming along, like, come on up here. Yeah, stand up. Like, instead of coming along and going, hey, I love you, we're not just going to trash you here, but you need to make some progress and repent.
Amen.
Nobody's perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be in ministry, but you have to be willing to move towards God. And instead of doing that, they shipped him off to the church we were at. Ooh. And the pastor wouldn't deal with it. He just kept trying to cover it up. So, I don't want to be real judgmental there, but I do want to say this. We use the ministry here to enrich people and to grow people. If you ever see me using you to grow this ministry, first call my hand. We use the ministry to grow people. We don't use people to grow the ministry. It's a big deal. With my kids, it's just like your kids. It's all consistent. This isn't weird stuff. When we get to the church, we get weird. I want my kids to have character first, but they do need skills. But if I give them skills and never call their hand on selfishness, egotism, whatever, nobody's going to want to work with them. Nobody's going to want to be around them, and they're going to be frustrated. And so the reason I even bring this up is in family, if it's starting to be healthy, there'll be times people come along beside you and go, you know, the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. They'll come along. I mean, this has happened to me so many times, and it's no different than you. Craig, why are you getting into my stuff? Just let me sit there. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I let a lot of people just sit there. That's the first level, the convenience level. But if you come to me and say, I want to grow, you're starting to come into the second circle of community. And I can't help you grow till you know me and I know you. I don't make anybody shift circles. That's between you and God. You can come in here, sit, leave, and go, and you'll get something. But the ultimate blessing is like Katrina. I'm sure she's got some mature lady in her life. If she doesn't, then there will be somebody comes up that believes in her and her destiny and her life and wants to see her get there. Which at times means we need somebody to go, you know, this isn't helping over here. Now, this is where it's important as a church. Many times as a church, we make our behavior conditional on our acceptance. Let me see if I can find this phrase. I'm bouncing around all over the place. Yeah, here we go. Most churches go this way. You got to believe right, behave right, and then you belong. Believe, behave, belong. But God doesn't do that to us. My gosh. How many of you? I've messed up this week. I had to repent for some things. And you know, God was still there.
Yeah.
He might have been frustrated with me. I don't know if he gets frustrated. He'll discipline me as a son. This is how it is in the kingdom. Instead of believe, behave, belong, you belong. Then you learn how to believe.
Yeah.
That changes your behavior.
Hallelujah.
But if your behavior's not right, you still belong.
Yes.
Let's use a simple example. My daughter's at Kennesaw State University. I'm very conservative politically. I'm not sure where my daughter's at anymore. I mean, on this subject, going to a political school. But say she comes out and she's a uber socialist, okay, as opposed to a libertarian. Obviously, we're not going to believe the same way. But if she was in the church world, she would be kicked out because she didn't believe right.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
See, in a family, you're not connected because of what you believe. You belong in that family, and then you work through your issues or you agree to disagree. Why? Because they're people. And so many times, to be a church that's a family, we've got to start looking at these circles, convenience, community, and commitment, and work on that and pray for that and look for those divine connections. Almost always it's somebody that you don't think about. Realize that we have to grow and go together. Let me throw out a statement I wouldn't have done as a young pastor. You will never get to your full destiny doing all that God wants for you in your life if you're a lone ranger.
Amen.
He on purpose makes sure it doesn't happen. I've seen a lot of ministries that do lone ranger stuff, and they can pull it off in the zeal of their enthusiasm for a little while, but you eventually get wore out and it's over. Now, I didn't care who won the Super Bowl last week. I watched it over at Brian's house because I'm just not a big super football guy. I'm not going to talk about Foles, who got the MVP, because I really don't know anything about him. But I do know this. Tom Brady A lot of people don't like. I don't really have an opinion. Has won 5 Super Bowls and is 40 years old. Of course, he lost. How many do you think he won on his own?
Not one.
And he's an awesome quarterback. No matter how good Jason is, he has to have a team to work with, or it's going to be a solo act. And it may be a good solo act, but it's not going to be like what it was this morning.
No.
But that means he doesn't always get to sing all the songs he wants to sing. That means he may have to change styles for Sean. And I'm telling you, the devil hates our worship team, because if you notice, his style is very different than Sean's style and Mike's. But as we said, you know, there is a destiny on music in this area. And it's going to take a blending of gifts and a blending of visions and compromises and working through it. And it's not a compromise. It's like, what is God wanting to do in each of us? And we humbly submit our pieces and we figure it out. And it goes to a level that would never happen with just one strong leader.
Right.
But it's a lot harder. And so your destiny is tied up in somebody around you that will come to you and give you a word or speak into your life at a critical time and will love you even when you make mistakes. But they don't just go, well, no big deal. No, they go, this is a big deal, but I'm going to help you get back to where you need to go. How many of you want a relationship like that?
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
And so that's what family is, and that's where we as a church will just, I think, what the Lord wants. And so we try to do character first, gift second. Those that have come in, Chad was the latest of this. I remember a year and a half ago when he came in, he's got a lot of gifts and started teaching here, and we're praying about an alignment with men somehow or another, and he's going to be teaching more. But he'll vouch this. I said, just sit for 6 months. Don't do anything. Let us just get to know you. Why? Because we care about him first more than his gift. I didn't even want to know his gifts were. I just wanted to know him. I don't know if you were frustrated with that, but I know some people are. We've had some people come in here, very talented. Come up to the front, I'm here, I'm God's gift to the piano or whatever it may be, or special singing. And I say, good. And they may be. Sit, because I want to like working with you. Even if I don't like you, I'm going to figure out how to work with you.
Sweet.
More than your gift. I'm telling you, we've had a lot of people, they've never come back because they got a minister now. This is the problem. They are what they do. And when they don't get to do it, they're going to be frustrated. This is the problem. You may be what you do, but that's a low level of identity. There's such a higher level of identity when you realize, you know, God just likes hanging out with me. And I am who I am first. Because many times your assignments will change over life. I remember before I came up here, the Lord said, don't want you to do anything. I knew I was going to be moving, but I didn't know where or when or how. So I knew that I was going to start moving sometime, but I thought it'd be next week. 2 years later, I still hadn't moved and I hadn't done anything. I was getting antsy because my identity was tied up in doing something. Finally, after 2 years, I moved up here. And then we didn't start the church for a year. Didn't do anything for another year. So I didn't minister for 3 years. But you know, it wasn't about the timing of the church, although it was part of it. It was what he was wanting to do in me. Craig, you're valuable even if you don't do anything. You don't have to do anything to be valuable. I'll use you because of the gifts inside of you, and that's fun. You were created to do that, but character first.
Hallelujah.
All right, we need to. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 talks about the fivefold government. That's the government that we have set up here. It talks about God gave gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. It does 5 things that each of those are responsible for. And it ends, it says, all of this was given to the gifts of the church for maturity. There are many, many standards of success in America for a church. Most of them probably aren't God. We do know that in the early church they had prayer, they had worship, fellowship, breaking of bread, dedicated to the apostles' teaching. But in this particular passage, it says all these gifts, their goal, which I will be judged on and every other leader will be judged on, is maturity. So is the church, now you got everybody at different stages, new babies to mature, but as a whole, are you seeing progress in maturity? Maturity means you know who you are, where you're deployed, who you're supposed to hang out with. If you got 4,000 people of babies, and they're all babies next year, you're doing something to keep them, and there is some value there, but when you get to heaven, you're going to go, what happened to the maturity? This is my standard. But to do that, you have to be involved to some level of other people. You know, 2-3 other people. This God's consistent. This is how family is. How many of us, I got 3 kids, that when I go home, I said, listen, dudes, Abigail, Grace, Israel, I birthed you, Abigail, 22 years ago. I didn't do much of it. Susan did more than I did. I birthed you. You were there. Just come and sit in here and watch TV with me, but don't talk anymore. All right, just make it real superficial. Come and go, get some food. I'll make sure there's some food in the refrigerator. You see the parallels I'm talking here? God doesn't want a church like that. He wants one where Craig prays over Abigail's college that she's supposed to go to. Prays over the boyfriend that she's dating. And when you think it may not be right, you go and ask questions. When they get, now, this is the trick. Are y'all hanging with me? This is the trick, is to do this without control. Many churches, like I mentioned, Betty Woodward was in the discipleship movement years ago. I think they had the right goal. I was not in it, so you correct me. It's just reading on it. I think they had the right goal, but you can't do that goal with control. She's 22, Abigail is, and so, you know, she's basically an adult, but she's not because I have to pay for everything. So there's a fine line there. You know, it's sort of that quasi thing. Now, Israel at 15, you've got more influence because he's 15. But to come on, I'm just using her as an example. There's nothing wrong with our relationship. But I come in and I'll put my arm around and say, I think this, as a dad, I think this will be better for you if you go in this direction. Or I see this. Ultimately, it's her decision. I can suggest at that age, but then I have to step out of the way, pray for, if she decides not to do it, she still belongs, even if her behavior is different. It may change the relationship some, but I still love her, and I don't kick her out.
Amen. Amen.
I've been involved years and decades ago in churches. If you didn't believe in certain ways, me and Brian, we were in a church, if you raised your hand, spoke in tongues, the usher was there to show you the door.
Wow.
I don't think that's really too much anymore. Maybe depends on how loud you do it and what service you do. But I was only a part of the family if I believed correctly. Now, let's don't get weird. Don't take this analogy the wrong way. I understand there are certain core beliefs to be a Christian. There's one way, through Jesus Christ. But I mean, those are given. I'll still hang around you if you don't believe it, but I'm not going to call you a Christian. But there's a lot of other beliefs that are more gray areas. And we can share our opinions. The key for us to be a healthy family is to share our opinions without you having feel pressure to to take on my opinions for my approval. See, what happened with I need to hurry up. What happened with the Protestant denomination, Protestant Reformation, 1517. Before that, there was basically one church. There was a lot of underground movements like the Anabaptists and the Hutterites and some people like that. But it's basically one church. Now, I'm going to propose to you that philosophy was right, but the control and the corruption was all wrong. And what happened at the Protestant Reformation, I believe in the Protestant Reformation, we needed to do it. The doctrine was just so messed up. There wasn't salvation. There was corruption and all kinds of weird stuff. But look at the big picture. How many hundreds of thousands of denominations since then have been formed all based on slight differences of beliefs. I think the pendulum went too far the other direction. And I don't know where you find that balance. I'm going to give you more questions than answers here. But this is what I want to know, is if Elizabeth, I've already picked on her, comes up and believes that Jesus Christ, something totally different than me about Jesus Christ when he's coming back. You know, because that's a big deal, the end times. I mean, we had four families leave about 12 or 14 years ago because I had a difference of opinion on the coming of Jesus Christ, which we never talk about here except that he's coming. But they had to know because they would only go to this church if they believed this. What if you did that to your kids? How many of you agree, men, with your wife on everything? If you're smart, you're going to raise your hand. Yeah, there you go.
Over here.
But you get my point. How many women agree with your husband on everything? None of them. They're smarter than us. But you still go forward. Now, I know there are things you have to agree on for certain things, how to spend money and different things like that, maybe. But you get the point. Believing is important. I'm not putting that down. I believe in the Word of God, and I believe on that. But you know, let's start brainstorming about belonging first.
Yeah.
And work through this paradigm over the years that Elizabeth, I'm making this up, believes he's coming back tomorrow. I mean, how many of you are old enough that 1988? 88 reasons he's coming back. I remember being in a church holed up in Augusta, Georgia, just in case. I didn't think he was coming back in 1988, but I wasn't convinced of it enough not to show up at the church.
Golly.
How many of you old like me that remember that? Do you remember that? You don't remember? Oh, Mike's the only one. You did that? All right, sis. All right. Well, y'all can go Google that. Obviously, he didn't come back. If he did, I missed it. And maybe they're already gone. I'm not sure. Huh? I've read his book because everybody else was reading the book. It was a big character. And I didn't believe it, but I showed up anyway, just in case. You know, God could have found me at my house, but I didn't even have enough faith for that. I had to be over there in that meeting, man. My point is, let's just have grace towards one another. I'm not talking sin. If somebody's in sin, let's still have grace towards them, but we need to deal with that, okay? Like this guy that was a worship leader, they should have dealt with that. You can do it in patience. You can do it in kindness. You can get a progress. You can get a plan. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of this craziness stuff that we put up with our own kids to belong and believe and then behave and realize we're assigned to a group of people. Now, this is Craig. This is a radical thought. This is my fault. I think it's biblical. I didn't hear this from God, and it's not in the Bible. So you just take it for what it is. I don't think you get to pick your church. If you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ, he owns you. He hadn't allowed me to pick anything else. Unless he specifically said, you can go pick this. He didn't allow me to pick the city, the job. I mean, you try to follow him. You know, you follow what I'm saying? Why? Because there's a group of people that need you, and you need them.
Yes.
I didn't get to pick my family. Abigail, when she came out of the womb, she's very opinionated. If she could have talked, she probably would have said, I'd rather be in a rich family instead of in this family. How many of us do that in our own lives? And you know, there's not a whole lot of grace there. God just goes, just be quiet, Craig, and deal with it.
Amen.
You can fight me, or you can just give in and realize they need you and you need them. All right, for about 4 or 5 minutes. Any questions on that? Did I cause more confusion than, let's say, Brian is going to be teaching next week. He's going to be talking about how you can, unless you've changed it, how you can... see people through God's eyes. I'm telling you, would that be a good summary? That is a great trait. Believe me, I won't tell you which kid. One kid I don't know why God does this, but I have one kid that I've wanted to kill more than anything else.
Yeah.
On a repeated basis. I don't know what it is in him, but I'm like, if I could get away with it, I probably would have done it several times. There's one door in my house. If you look at it closely, these are, you know, the nice six-panel doors, but they're hollow core. If you look at it, next time you come, I'll show you. And if you look at it real closely, it's been puttied over. That's because my fist went through that door because of this kid. That's better than punching the kid. I don't even think the kid knew. You know, whatever that is, I don't know. But you know, the problem is, I want to blame it on that kid. But what is it in me? That's right. That responds to that. It's pushing my buttons. The Lord allow, and we've had this in church, haven't we? We've had people around, and we leave immediately. Let me tell you, that happens because God is show. It's His grace to show you your buttons. We need family here and family at our own house. Is God showing us the buttons that need to be moved?
Yes, sir.
Now.
Yeah.
How many of you have seen kids or wives or spouses go running off because their buttons are being pushed and they won't deal with it? The next place is going to be harder. I'm telling you. If he's showing you a button, just get it over with. Because if you keep running, that button's going to get rusted. It's going to get corroded. It's going to get nails put into it. And it's going to take an act of God, and it's going to hurt like the devil when you finally deal with your button. Now, some people never deal with their button when they get to heaven. I'm telling you, God's going to deal with their button when you get to heaven. When we think when we get to heaven, everything's going to be perfect. Well, you're not going to have old sin nature, but he's still going to go, you know this button over here?
Huh.
We'll leave it at that. That's Craig's opinion. Because I don't think we're going to get to heaven and all of a sudden we're perfect. I think we won't sin, but that doesn't mean... I mean, how many of you have gone several days and not sinned? Or all day? I mean, it's possible. But am I perfect? No, you keep working on stuff. It's a lot better there than here, though. And so when somebody pushes your button, maybe you need to take a break. Go, God, is this you? Some of the people that's had the biggest influence on my life, I didn't want to have anything to do with them. This one kid, probably the biggest button pusher I've ever had. But let me tell you, my tolerance level and patience level and not getting angry has gone through the roof in a good way.
Sweet.
It really takes a lot now to get me upset. Before, it wasn't too much, as you can look at my door. So when I get to heaven, that kid's going to... God's going to go to that kid. Good job. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have made your dad so much better. Let's stand. Or do y'all have any questions on this? So it happens in your family. How many of you do that? And then it happens in the church. Any questions? Just 2 or 3 minutes and or confusion. Or if not, then I'm going to let you go.
It just made me think that I like that order. Belong, believe, then be happy. Jesus made the disciples felt that they belong to something first.
I mean, how many of you have grown up, you know, I haven't necessarily done this, but you see it a lot. You know, say to your kids, they do something stupid. And you go, listen, you're a Cooper. Coopers don't do this. See, you're making that, I'm not saying it's the right way, and I'm never, but that making that connection to Cooper. You know, you're going to behave, but you're a Cooper. That means you can't get out of this thing. This is going to happen. And so you could turn to some stubborn friend that has a button and say, you're a Christian. I'm not going. You can push me away, but I'm going to pray over here, and you're just going to have to do it. Some of you may be praying for 20 years, but it's going to happen. Amen. Let's stand. Any other comments or questions, real quick? Father, we just thank you that we are first a family with you, and you call us sons and daughters. I mean, I'm thinking of that verse. Just think about this. I'm doing this top of my head, so I don't remember where it is right now. Jesus is saying, I once thought of you as slaves, but now I call you sons. You used to be a slave, but something happened at the cross. You're not a slave anymore. We voluntarily become a bondservant, but he calls you sons. There's a promotion there. And so, Father, I thank you that you call us sons/daughters. We're first in your family. And I just pray for every person here that we, first of all, have healthy nuclear families, biological families, but that you'll show us where we connect with the convenience, community, and commitment in this church so that we can be the best family we possibly can be. In Jesus' name, amen. There'll be a ministry team to